Today's program is brought to you by Q Drinks, carbonated mixers made for your cocktail. Visit their website at qdrinks.com. That's Q, the letter, drinks.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte. My co-host, Souther Teague, is out of the country. He's in Mexico right now, having fun in Yucatan Peninsula. Have fun down there, buddy. And in his place today, I have a good buddy of mine here in the studio. You've been on the show a couple times. I think just once.
Just once, but yeah. I just come for the pizza.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? You've been here many times, but like I've officially been on the show once. Mm. So welcome back to the show, Jan Warren.
Hello, world.
Wide world.
The wide, wide world of speakeasy.
You've had too much pizza, dude. You're cut off.
It's a lifetime problem. It really is. It's not. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, well, dude, I mean, it's hard not to when you're out here, you know, at Roberta's.
You guys can't see this, but my stomach is looking super soft today. My gut.
Well, you're wearing all, like, dark denim. You're dressed like me today.
I know.
And you know what? That's... People are like, dude, you're really slim. And I'm like, nope, just wear dark denim. It's very slimming. It's been my trick for years.
I wish it worked.
I actually weigh about 450. 445, I've been eating salad lately.
That's just for the record, people, that's grams.
Yeah.
He weighs about a pound. 454, I think, is the actual.
454 is a good number. Yeah, it's a good engine.
No, that's a pound.
Yeah.
It is. I know that from sometimes when we... make syrups and stuff, we have to just measure stuff very exactly. So that's the only reason I know that.
You measure?
way.
Just like the eyeball things, man.
Yeah. I mean, eyeballs are good, but I'm, you know, post 40, so they don't work as well as they used to. I'm thinking about the laser.
Yeah?
I am, actually, yeah. Once I get some sweet health insurance.
Yeah. I have issues with, like, lasers, like willfully letting lasers shoot into my eyeballs.
Well, I figure you let them do one eye, right?
Yeah, sure.
Because if they fuck that one up, you still have the other one, right?
But then don't you walk around in circles? How does that work?
Well, they do one and it's perfect, right? And then, or it's fucked up, one of the two. But if it's perfect, you know that it worked, right? And your vision in that eye is better. So, you know, I would say right now I'm probably like 30-30 or 30-odd-6 or... or 300 Winchester. I don't know. I forget. But my eyes are, you know, far away is kind of bad, which is why if you've ever walked into a bar I was working at and I didn't wave to you, it's because I just didn't know who you were until you got within about 7 feet.
That's why we got cilantro juleps instead of mint juleps.
That also happens. That's why I've never worked in a bar that had cilantro, because I would make that error too. But I think you let them do one eye, and if they don't fuck that one up, you go get the other one done.
I guess so.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
See, I just wear glasses, but I don't have a very, I have pretty good eyesight, but the reason why I wear glasses, two reasons, working in the dark, I get eye strain.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
So having a very light prescription helps out. Secondly, I've got eye protection for that splashback when you don't pack your tins well enough and you shake and it comes apart.
Or even worse, if you're cracking ice with a spoon and you get a shard right in there.
Then you're just done.
Mm. Yeah, I get it. I mean, for me personally, I think that it's really about recognizing guests is the thing that I want to do.
Yeah.
In a better way. But the glasses for me, I have a very big head. You have kind of a Swedish head, which is long but sort of thin.
Swedish or Swedish?
Well, both. I think both work. And I have sort of a Norwegian head, which is kind of a square, big, block, massive. Like kind of like those Olmec stone heads where Souther is right now. These kind of just square... substantial things. So eyeglasses, even your frames, which look big on you, guaranteed look very small on me.
Put them on.
Yeah, I will. It's going to be sad. It's
don't also stretch them out.
Well, look at this. This is where those go on my head. They don't even get to the side.
Now,
you see that?
Do it. Oh, man.
See?
You look like Leo Roach, or not, wait, Walter Sochek.
Well, yeah, there we go. That's, there we go. You know, it's very funny. I've been looking at myself a lot lately, and and really feeling like John Goodman. I mean, listen, I'm not quite as big as John Goodman, but I do have that kind
you
of.
You mean like that, as far as fame or size?
Oh, fame. Yeah, yeah.
Because I think people know you pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I would say that it's very a minor league bartending career is basically now equal to being on one of the greatest sitcoms of all time. That's how I feel. I don't know if it's true, but it doesn't matter, I think, because we're also in a place where if people say things, they become true and valid. So I've heard people say that a minor league bartending career is as important as being on a great sitcom. I've heard people say it. People are saying it. So I don't want to go against what people are saying.
I've heard that one time when you were behind the bar, you... And now, this is a rumor, probably. I don't know, but, you know, it was in the press. One time, you bit the head off of a chicken and threw it into an audience?
That was I was doing a pop-up in Haiti. No, but seriously, voodoo is a serious religion down there, and it's pretty impressive, and I don't want to insult anyone who does it. So I'm actually going to stop that joke.
Yeah, let's just stop right there.
Because, actually, I was in Haiti, and, you know, our kind of concept of voodoo is really kind of jokey here, really disrespectful, really screwed up. But for people down there, it's like it's why they're free. Mm-hmm. Like they really believe in the power of voodoo. And even if it just gave people the inner strength to fight against what they had to fight against in the early 1800s, then good for it. I don't for me, it's very hard. I don't really believe in Christianity or any of that stuff. So I think it's super cool that to be able to experience the reality of religion for another person was really, really cool. Yeah. And voodoo is a real thing for people. So
absolutely, man. You know, it's actually one of the reasons why I'm glad to have you on the show today, because you know, a lot of us in the industry, we get fortunate enough to, get to travel around the country, the world, to go check out different distilleries and things, like do branded things like that. But you get to travel around, and when you do the voodoo that you do, if you will.
That's very good. That's a nice circle. That's called, by the way, that's called the art of the conversational circle, where you bring it right back around. And that was beautifully done. This is a master. Just, you guys should know.
Well, when you are on these trips, you typically, you make it a point to get to visit, not only like, you know, you're going on distillery tours, doing guest bartending, stuff like that, speaking to different crowds. So you get to go to, you have a lot of relationships with different wineries and breweries and chefs and restaurants around the world.
Yeah,
only that, you get to go, you always make it a point to check out like the deep local stuff. And I think that's really impressive. And we don't get to do that a lot.
Well, when you go on a strictly branded thing, and I've been on these things, you're generally beholden to the people that have paid for your plane ticket, mm-hmm. which is as it should be. It's not an insult to any way of doing this. It's as it should be. If I buy you a plane ticket, you know, I expect you to be doing what I want you to do for the week that we're together. So on the strictly branded things, a lot of times your time really does belong to somebody else. And that can be great. And it's been great. And I've done that stuff, and I'm very appreciative of those opportunities. They're wonderful. I do a lot of my own travel. And a lot of times if I do bartending travel, I try to add in a couple extra days, because I think it's the opportunity that we have to learn from other cultures and learn to appreciate other cultures and really to put into perspective. You know, I think it's very easy in New York City to feel like it's the center of the world and everything we do is the best. Mm. And then when you travel around, you really get to go, ew. You guys are very good at this here. Yeah. You know, one of the things, like, you know, I'm going on with Brooklyn Gin, I'm going on kind of a Nordic swing through a couple cities and a few cities and really looking forward to it. But there is, for me anyway, you know, I've been to a lot of these places. I've seen these guys bartend. They're as good as any of us. I mean, there's no...
But you've also cultivated a relationship with them from previous trips. So like this is going to be a very enriched trip that you're about to go on.
Big time. I mean, I have...
And every time it gets more and more.
I mean, that's a real... those relationships obviously are part of the kind of internationality of bartending now. But New York is a special place wherein a lot of the guys that are from overseas come here to visit. And I've been like... I'm from here. Right? I was born someplace else. My parents moved here in like 1980. My dad's from the Bronx. My mom's from the Midwest. So I was, anyway, that's a messy story. But I really grew up here, and I love this city. And when people do visit here, I make it a point to take people to the places that remind me of the city that I love. And you know, I don't want to say that a lot of that's gone or be sad about, you know, I can't buy angel dust at a switchblade on 42nd Street anymore.
Yeah.
But
I mean, we do miss that, though.
I mean, the switchblade part. I don't miss angel dust. I've smelled it too many times. I've never smoked it myself, but I've smelled it. It smells bad. I don't know if you guys know
never
that.
Done it, man. No. But Angel Share.
Angel Share is an excellent bar. It's different than Angel Dust, but we're going to open a place. Me and Damon are working on a concept called Angel Dust.
It's dehydrated powdered cocktails.
It's going to be on the corner of 116th and Lex.
Yeah.
and that's a pretty inside New York joke about Angel Dust that like three guys listen. You know, nobody's going to get that joke, actually. You know, I mean, look, I think you owe it to yourself. If you get to travel around as much as a lot of us do, you really do owe it to yourself to explore as much of those cultures as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's the food. That's the place where people get coffee in the morning. You know, my advice to people getting to take trips would be don't party till 5:30 in the morning and wake up at wake up at 2 p.m. You know, be part of life in the place that you go to. And that is really important.
Well, I think it's a lot easier when you, I mean, I've noticed a change in like branded trips, given what you just said. Like, you know, obviously it is like there's partying happening on these trips, but you know, if you don't want to be that asshole. Like last year I got to go to with Rum Jam and Clement, and Dan Wasso got to go to Martinique and Guadeloupe, and there's, you know, as much tea punch and rum you can drink, man. But at the same time, it's like, we had early days to go visit distilleries, and it was like, you know what? We started early, and we kind of like eased through the day.
Yeah, I think
and that was perfect.
Yeah. I think that sounds like a very Caribbean mode.
Yeah,
where you kind of just like slow it down. You're probably drinking by 4 p.m. or noon.
Yeah,
but you know, it's that slow. The Caribbean is great that way because it is that slow ease into everything.
Yeah,
and that's very unique to the Caribbean. But I think that, you know, also people are getting smarter about how they treat themselves in this business, which is really nice to see. I've seen over the past couple of years, a lot of guys stop drinking altogether. A lot of guys cut down a lot. You know, people are aging into responsibility. And I think the cocktail game is aging into, look, I know it's been around for a long time, but really the kind of renaissance we've seen is like, you know, late 90s to now, really.
Yeah.
And you know, the inevitable part of this being now 17 or 20 years old, this kind of new wave of excellence in the cocktail world, a lot of the guys are getting older now. And by the time you're like 35, you know, hopefully younger for some of you, you realize that like getting, you know, blackout drunk three nights a week is not really a sustainable lifestyle or a healthy lifestyle for anything. I mean, you know, life is really ultimately about kind of growth, which goes back to this travel thing. And you owe yourself the opportunity to grow in the healthiest way you can.
Yeah.
And it's great to see that. I mean, it really is. I don't know why I went on that tangent. It's very tangential.
It was great, man.
Sorry.
No, it's perfect, man. Actually, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll continue talking with Jane Warren about, I think we're talking about growth, man.
Yeah.
It's talking about growth.
Personal growth in the cocktail world.
I love it. All right. Back in a moment.
Go in for understanding when you are away. Can't use my heart to think away the time.
Hi, I'm Jordan Silbert, founder and CEO of Q Drinks. We're proud to support the speakeasy. At Q Drinks, we make spectacular carbonated mixers, crafted to mix with your favorite spirits. Based right here in Brooklyn, we're available nationally in 6 flavors, including Q Tonic Water for spectacular gin tonics and Q Ginger Beer for spectacular Moscow Mules. I started the company after a night in my backyard with good gin, really good friends, and lousy tonic water. I realized the world needed better mixers, so I made them. Q Drinks uses real ingredients, a lot less sugar, and a lot more carbonation. The result? Clean, crisp, spectacular beverages that bring out the best in your favorite spirits. Using Q Drinks, it's easy to create terrific drinks with just two pours. 1 to 2 ounces of your favorite spirit and 3 to 4 ounces of Q poured over ice in a highball glass. It's simple and spectacular. Q Drinks. Make your drink spectacular.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network. In the studio today, I've got my buddy Jan Warren. We were just talking about growth,
personal growth
in the industry. And I think it's a topic that we have touched on quite a bit lately. You know, talking with, I think most recently was Jack McGarry of Dead Rabbit, talking about how he stopped drinking. How long, you stopped drinking quite a while back,
you
right?
know, so... My kind of bartending path is a little, I haven't been doing it solidly for the last 15 years. I did it about 17 years ago, like as kind of a crummy, like crummy places, you know?
Yeah.
And then I got into cooking and through cooking really, you know, if you're cooking at a reasonably high level in New York City, you get to use the best ingredients. I mean, you just have such a beautiful opportunity here to use great stuff, right? So if you go back to bartending from that, you're not making Zemkoff and cranberry from a gun without feeling miserable.
Right.
So, you know, I've had this kind of long path through it. So.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Like, well, the idea of like, when you work in a nice place where you just have all these nice ingredients and nice wine and all stuff, it's just like you kind of like enriching your life in such a way that it's really hard to like pull back from, right?
Right. But for me,
like you can't really dumb it down. It's hard to dumb it down.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to dumb it down. And I guess the not drinking thing really happened to me in the kitchen. I was cooking now about 10 years ago at a place called 5/9th. Mm-hmm. It was a great restaurant, Meatpacking District. And my boss then was this guy named Daniel Perilla or Chino. He's a heavily tattooed, very frightening Filipino. Now he works at, he's a co-chef at Augustine and Cher Schmitty, I think, still. And he's great. He's a great chef. He's a hard guy. I mean, you know, he was tough, but that's what a chef is supposed to be, I think. Mm-hmm. If your chef is soft, food's not going to be good because you got to command a lot of guys. And, sure. And you know, I had been aware for several years that I was personally drinking way too much. And then he did like a sober month or something. And I just decided that I was kind of going to do it with him a little bit. I mean, there's some other factors involved, but that was, you know, that first seeing somebody that I went out and party with at night, just be able to not drink at least for a day, 2 days, 3 days was impressive.
Right.
Really.
Right.
I mean, yeah. You know, I think a lot of us are drinking every day. Right.
Right. You know, and a lot of people in this industry feel like they're obligated to, you know, because it's part of the thing, but it's, you don't have to, man. Like,
yeah,
you,
I mean,
you should be able to like,
you can taste stuff and not finish a drink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you can't do that,
I would say to, you know, new bartenders and new people in the industry, it's like, you know, when you go to things like Tales of the Cocktail or back, you know, when the Manhattan Cocktail Classic was around, it's like every time you see water, drink it. And never finish cocktail.
Yeah, really. Put it down. They're free, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't pay for them.
Yeah.
To taste them. The brand wants you to taste them. Taste them. Hide them. Really.
Yeah.
I mean, squirrel it up. Have a table full of nuts for winter.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be hard. I mean, people are obligated. There's the added aspect that drinking is a really social activity, man. I mean, it is. Like,
yeah.
And I think a lot of us... You know, I'll speak for myself here. I'm very comfortable talking to one person or talking to a group of people as long as there's a bar between us,
mm-hmm.
right? But a lot of times when I'm in like a crowd,
you don't like
riding
the subway.
I don't want to talk to anybody. Yeah, I don't like. Look at my dude. I'm sorry. We have a view into the dining room here, and a guy that I know basically from high school lives around the corner from the studio. Who I'm going to plug him because I love him. His name is Tim Kent, and he is really a stunningly talented painter.
Cool.
I mean, he's really amazing. He's also like a New York City original who I've crushed 40s with on stoops in the early 90s. I mean,
nice.
I love Tim. Great guy. But, you know, back to that thing, it's like, you know, people are starting to take care of themselves, and it really is great to see. From my perspective, I've been sober for almost 10 years. You know, and it's nice to see people be healthy and take care of themselves. Again, the other side of that is I never look at somebody and go, ooh, you've got a problem.
Right.
You know, because, and this is for me like a, you know, a 95% truth. It's guaranteed that I've behaved as badly as you or almost as bad as you or worse, you know, like in my time. So, you know, and everybody still, you know, you make mistakes sober too. I don't mean to imply that I'm perfect now, right. Certainly, but you know, you get to like feel who you are and figure out how to behave in the world right. when you're not drunk every day. And when you're drunk every day, it's hard to make those decisions. Like, do you do your taxes drunk?
Right.
Probably not. I mean, maybe. I guess I get super depressed when I look at my taxes.
Yeah.
So I want to drink when I see them, but
yeah.
I don't know. I just, you know, this is just a really great opportunity right now. I think there's a lot of information out there. There's a lot of people who are.
People are very open about it nowadays too. So it's not such a weird, like, hidden thing, you know, and also like there's an upswing in like for the industry, like, different kinds of wellness burgers. I know a lot of bartenders these days who are, I could name like 20 right now, who are just like really, really hardcore about running.
Yeah, running is
and like joining marathons and stuff. You know, also, well, actually, you just recently started. We just started working together. You just came on as a part of the team at Brooklyn Gin, and your girlfriend Veronica, she does the
we just call her my girlfriend.
She
I hope she's listening. I really do.
she does the Brooklyn Gin yoga every Tuesday at
yeah I mean
one.
We've been doing, I mean, she and Brooklyn Gin, I'm new to the team, so I can't say we've been doing this for 4 years, but I think Brooklyn Gin has been doing this for 3 or 4 years, maybe 3 years.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, almost 3 years of a free yoga class every Tuesday for service industry people in Gowanus. And the way that she teaches is really less physical and more, you know, I mean, she thinks a lot about the spirituality of yoga and less about the workout potential of yoga.
Right, right.
I mean, she's that kind of person. She's
more mindful than...
Yeah, more mindful than body. I mean, she's, you know, yoga does take care of that stuff, but... It really is about it's a spiritual practice, really, in essence, more than a physical practice.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brooklyn Gin has been doing this for a long time, and anyone listening is welcome.
Yeah.
You can look at Tender Yoga on Facebook, and you'll see updates, and there's a newsletter that goes out if you want to get in on that. But I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, and we're very proud of it, and hopefully we'll get to take it into some bars and some outside locations sometime yeah. soon. But you know,
it's popped up at different events like the
yeah, we've definitely popped it up at Bar Summit,
Cocktail Week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, so you joining, actually, you know, since you joined Brooklyn Gin, that's like also kind of personal growth for you as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've either been bartending or cooking for like a long, long time, and never really done any, never moved to that brand side. And I think I've been really lucky to land with some guys that I've known for a long time, who I've actually really liked for a long time. And yeah, it's the way I like to think about it is, you know, bartending is about being really nice to the 5 people in front of you,
right?
Or 20 or 100 or whatever it is. And this kind of brand work that I'm doing is about being nice to the bartenders, right, who are out there, which is actually a really cool opportunity.
Yeah.
Because I get to put people in a good mood who are going to go deal with customers. And that's really special, and I've been really lucky. I've been going on what I call mandates, where I take a bartender out and mandate that they buy some gin. it's actually been really fun. And it's, look, the root of what we do, and I don't care who you are, right, or how famous you are or how great your shake is or how many things you can stir at one time. The root of what we do is the provision of fucking kindness. That's the root of what we do. I mean, that goes back to like 1700s America, tavern keeper, guy coming in out of the rain. You put a fucking hot poker and some molasses in a wooden mug of bitter brown beer, right? Mm-hmm. And you give him something warm to drink and he feels good. So the opportunity to move that impetus towards kindness into a new area and focus on a different group of people is awesome, I think. And these are like the people that I've worked with for years, right? So it's not like I have to go out and make a bunch of new friends. I just get to be extra nice to the people that I already really like.
Right.
Which it sounds really like a ludicrous fantasy job. You know, and it is in many ways. I'm super happy. I feel super lucky. And I'm in love with what this has been over the first 3 weeks or first 3 months. You know, I get to go bartend at friends' bars in Europe for the next 2 weeks, which is spectacular. You know, you think about this stuff, and it's like what we get to do is ridiculous. It's totally, yeah. Guys, it's ridiculous.
But also, just for like, I just want to say this for the younger bartending crowd out there: this didn't happen overnight.
You put in a lot of hard work.
If
it's happening overnight, you're doing it wrong.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, and if you're forgetting that, look. When I say it's ridiculous, when I'm happy about it, I mean, it's a massive gift. It is something to be really appreciated. I mean, don't take it for granted.
Right.
And I know it's easy to take it for granted because people will throw you know, I'm an old man. I've been doing this for a long time. My feet hurt. My back hurts. You know, my kidneys barely work. But, you know, there are now certainly more opportunities for this than there were when I started. It wasn't even a thing. Like, mm-hmm. You know, one thing I was thinking the other day is like, I look at bar setups and I can look at, you know, I've been really lucky enough to work at, you know, Dutch Kills and Fresh Kills for the bulk of the last 5 years. And those places, Rich Picado owns those places. And he's done an awesome job of building bar stations that are really ergonomic, really, man, I mean, just, seriously, the Cadillacs or whatever your favorite luxury car is, that's what you're sitting in, or in Damon's case, Harley Softail, Springer Softail.
Something like that. Yeah,
sure. I don't know what I said. but just these perfect places. And then I had this epiphany the other day. I was looking at some bar setup and I was like, And then I thought, man, I used to work in a place where we didn't have like a refrigerator. We had stainless steel bins that at the beginning of the night we would put bottles and cans in, then we would cover those with ice. Yeah. I mean, really, like we you know, I've been doing this long enough that like we didn't have equipment, right? Like it's like for what people get to walk into now, it's like stunning, and they should be super happy. And really, be happy about your working conditions. Forget about the trips. Forget about all that stuff. I feel lucky to do it. I'll always feel lucky to do it. And so should you if you get to do it. Really appreciate it. Really use it to make yourself better, because it's a fucking awesome opportunity. I'm going to Finland on Monday, right? First thing I'm going to do is get in a sauna. I've never been in a Finnish sauna. I want to do that. You know, get those experiences that the people who know things can give you, which is what I try to give people that visit here, which is why I'm going to get those when I go there. Because, you know, I'm hospitable in a way that is real. I mean it, man. I do. Yeah. And that's the great beauty of the brand work also, is like, I get to do this stuff for people.
Yeah, man.
And I know it sounds fucking super cheeseball, and I'm sorry that you guys are listening to this. What is essentially a private conversation between two old bartenders, which surely is boring and stupid. But, really, I'm so – when I say things are ridiculous or whatever, I'm just so appreciative of what this industry has turned into, because it wasn't like this. I used to open Coors Light for people that tip 50 cents.
Yeah,
that's,
man,
a real thing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And now
– if they tipped at all.
If they, yeah, sure. Really. Screw top beers, guys.
Yep.
You know? Really. You know, I mean, dishwashers. We send glassware away and it gets washed in a dishwasher. That was not how it was. We had fuzzy things in a sink.
Yeah.
And,
like
and
if, little tablets you'd throw.
Yeah, and if you broke a glass in there, forget it. I mean,
yeah.
Stitches. I mean, really.
Stitches, just, and you didn't have anyone to back you up because you were always working solo shifts.
Yeah.
Maybe luxury back then, like what we think of, like, you know, having like Cold Draft or Scotsman or even 100-weight ice back then, that luxury was like having someone there that like could like cover you when you inevitably cut your finger off.
Yeah, or hey, I need to use the restroom. Can you watch the bar?
Yeah.
You better hope for real regulars then, buddy.
Yeah.
I hope people that really like you.
Seriously, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, this business has evolved into something that is, I mean, it's always been a real job, but it's evolved into something that is providing opportunities that were never really provided before. And if you're starting out now, you are so lucky. And totally, listen, man. I say that without a trace of bitterness. I don't care.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, good for you, man.
I find it better, man. Like I think, you know, guys like us, we have like true work ethic because of what we had to do back then.
Yeah,
I grew up on a farm, dude. Like, I know about work ethic. But
business now attracts more people who are focused on beauty, which is great, I think. You know, because you don't have to, like, bro, I didn't start bartending at a French restaurant in Soho, you know, 15, 17 years ago, whatever it was, because I really wanted to bartend, right? I did it because it was a job that I could do. And then later on, you fall in love with stuff. And, you know, I happen to be, I don't know if you guys have noticed by how little Damon has spoke during this and how much I've spoken, but I like to talk, man. And bartending gives you the opportunity to constantly be talking without looking psychotic. If I did this on the subway, wow, you guys would be throwing dollars.
That's really why you don't ride the subway, isn't it?
It is. It is. People just think I'm a crazy homeless person.
Well, I did till today.
I mean, no. Look, we really are lucky. I'm thankful, really, to, you know, for me, Little Branch was the place that really kind of did it for me. That's where I first got it. I worked at a really crummy bar across the street. And that first wave of Little Branch with, you know, man, I mean, the bar staff was like just bananas. I mean, I'm not going to name any names, but like, you know, all the names. They all own great bars. You know, it really is like they were my bartenders that got me into this. These guys who were superstars of this world right now. And, you know, I was lucky. And I think that,
man, if you do want to, if the listeners do want to check out those names that you don't want to name, you can check out episode 76 of The Speakeasy.
Who's that?
With Jane Warren. That time was, let's see here. What was the date on
what
that?
What episode are you at now? You're at like 300?
This is like 230 or something like that.
So it's been 6 years since I've been back here, guys. So Damon really, really loves having me on the show. No, but look, I mean, you know, really, we're just, I mean, look, gratitude has to be your focus when you look around at what at least your bartending life is. I know politically there's a lot of not gratitude to go around. And the greatest thing about this show today for me has been that I haven't thought of politics for, I think, 36 minutes, which is awesome, guys. I feel like I just, like, snorted Adderall. I mean, I don't know what that feels like because I'm too old for Adderall. But, like, I feel awesome right
angel
now.
Angel dust.
Yeah, I feel like I just smoked angel dust on a rooftop.
See, bringing it back.
Yeah, around. Circles. Circles, guys. Conversational circles. Learn them. It's an art. But, like, I feel like I'm on a rooftop in Soho, 1992, slamming a 40, a Colt 45 or Old English 800, just smoking a cigarette dipped in formaldehyde or whatever it was. I don't even know what it was. But, anyway, this has been awesome.
Damon's, yeah, it's been great to have you, man. And you know what? Actually, it's going to be great to have you today. Actually, after this, we're heading over to my bar, to Crane Army, downtown Brooklyn, 336 State Street. We're going to be there from 5 to 7. Jan's actually going to be popping behind the bar and making some drinks with Brooklyn Gin. So swing by, and you get to see this. You get to have this guy talk at you for a couple of hours while you drink.
So no one's coming, clearly. I'll see none of you. But I will think of you lovingly. And with kindness in my heart.
Oh, that's so sweet. You're so sweet. Well, think of us when you're having a great time in Finland in your sauna.
Man, I can't. I seriously, like, I just really, there is a point, and I don't, I hope I don't sound like I'm bragging because I don't mean to.
I don't think you
I
do.
Just am so thankful to get to do what I do.
Yeah,
really.
And absolutely.
That is the, I mean, look, even just working a bar shift feels great to me. And then to get to fly halfway across the world, go to a beautiful place I've never been before, and work a bar shift.
It's incredible. Man.
If you want more out of life, you are actually an asshole. I mean, money and houses and kids and stuff notwithstanding. Yeah. Other than that, we're just very lucky, and I'd like to just focus on kindness and gratitude. Really, be grateful every day. because what we get to do is ridiculous. If you're listening to this show, I assume you're a bartender or somehow interested in the business or whatever. But really, you know, it really is a beautiful world that we get to live in and travel through. And, you know, we know that we basically like, so if you do this job, you're attracted to being kind to people or you suck at it. If you suck at it, you're not traveling. If you suck at it, you're not at a place that a traveler visits, right? So we get to actually meet people who are invested in being kind. That's who, that's our circle. That's our social circle, bros. People who are like naturally nice.
Yeah, man. I love that.
Just that alone is, it's bananas.
And they wonder why there hasn't been an actual like reality show about bartending. Because there's just not enough drama, man. Kitchen shows?
Well,
chef shows?
I mean, look. There are egos involved in bartending as much as... And listen, I've got a big ego. I do. I mean, I think I'm fairly nice to everybody. I don't think I treat people really badly. But, you know, ego is part of it. I love being myself. I love... And when I say ego, I don't mean arrogance. I mean ego, like yourself, right? Ego is the self.
Yeah.
I have a big self, you know, and I'm not shy about who I am or how I want to behave or you know. And sometimes I make people upset and unhappy, and that's life. You know, if you're being yourself, someone's not going to like you.
Yeah.
That's guaranteed.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not being yourself, everyone will like you. With the exception of Gil Bohanna, who is himself, and everyone fucking loves that guy. I mean, seriously. Just if you see Gil, just give him a hug. He's the best. I'm serious. You'll thank me.
Hell yeah, man. Well, maybe we'll see him tonight.
I hope so. Cool. Gil.
Well, cool, man. It's been great having you on the show again.
Man, I love this. Anytime. Seriously.
Heck yeah, man.
Anytime. Especially if the pizza comes with it. I'm super psyched.
I mean, that's guaranteed, bro. Mm. Well, that's it for the show this week. Come out to Grand Army today to have some drinks with Jen, 5-7, 336 State Street in Brooklyn. And yeah, man, have fun on your trip.
I promise.
And we'll see you when you get back.
I promise.
And that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out heritageradionetwork.org for many other programs like this one. Until next week, this is Dame Bolte saying cheers.
And cheers.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.